lanky, black wench took the center of the stage. The most noticeable things about her were her neck and mouth. Her neck was remarkable for its length, and her mouth for its width. When she opened that mouth, there was nothing to do but dodge or be engulfed by the undertow. She was the orator of the evening, and felt the hand of God laid on her here to preach to the shepherds. I read from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, she read from the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, for about an hour and a half. She would read one line and expound it until she had told all she could think of, and then read another line. She concluded her oration to the shepherds, warns the shepherds. And you shepherds, you pastors, you better feed your flock on the Holy Ghost, or they won't feed you. If you all don't get right with God, you won't have no more congregation, and you'll have to go out and go to work. Los Angeles Herald. When most people think of Azusa Street, they think about it as an event. The revival that took place at the mission was an event to which people went. Thousands of people attended the revival, but most of them took part in it for only a short period of time. They may have attended only a single meeting or perhaps a series of meetings over a week or two. Because this was such a common pattern, most of those who wrote about the revival failed to look beyond the event character of what they had observed to see the larger, ongoing, ecclesial nature of the mission. The Azusa Street Mission was, after all, a local congregation that hosted and nurtured this revival for 3 years. It was first and foremost an African-American congregation that grew out of a cottage prayer meeting on North Bonnie Bray Street. It had an African-American pastor, and for the first couple of months at least, African-Americans comprised the majority of the congregation. This congregation was different from most black congregations in Los Angeles. From the beginning, Pastor Seymour envisioned it becoming a multiracial, multi-ethnic congregation. In keeping with that vision, the mission quickly attracted, and for an extended period of time, it welcomed and maintained a membership that was broadly representative of various racial and ethnic groups, blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians, and Native Americans. The work began among the colored people, the mission reported. Since then, multitudes have come. God makes no difference in nationality, Ethiopians, Chinese, Indians, Mexicans, and other nationalities worship together. It became one of the most racially inclusive, culturally diverse groups to gather in the city of Los Angeles at that time. It included people from all classes. It held the attention of the highly educated alongside the illiterate. It had something for new converts as well as for seasoned professionals in ministry. Even so, worship at the mission was undoubtedly heavily favored by the dominantly African-American character of its founding core membership. Like most congregations, the Azusa Street Mission published a doctrinal basis that outlined what the congregation believed. It had a voting membership, and it had a duly elected board of trustees. In September 1906, it began to publish a newspaper called